doing some lessons from the Old Testament books in the last several months, and so we've looked at a couple of lessons on the book of Job, the two lessons on Malachi, did the book of Ruth, book of Judges, the two lessons on Jonah. Last Lord's Day evening, we looked at the book of Nahum. Tonight, the book of Haggai, or Haggai. We've got to note that. It's interesting, and I noticed when we're reading through the book of Nahum last week, and also when Clarence teaches classes on Wednesday night, going through the Old Testament prophets, he's going by verse and explaining a lot of the imagery where in last Sunday's lesson, I just read the text itself. And even to me, in a casual reading, I would sometimes wonder, what does that phrase mean, or that particular symbolism? I couldn't always capture the imagery, even though I knew the gist of the text. In our Sunday morning class, coming up, changing topics in a couple of weeks, in the spring quarter, we're going to look at the books of poetry and prophets. I was just looking ahead, and just interesting about that imagery and the phrases that the Old Testament sometimes uses that we don't recognize. The author of this section coming up next spring gives us a little information. So he says concerning these clusters of books, says these are not the only books in the Bible containing poetic language. In fact, many books, both Old Testament and New, take advantage of the unique nature of poetry to present God's words of rebuke, information, encouragement, and salvation. So we have to capture, when we see those phrases, we have to stop and study if we don't know exactly, if it's not readily contained or known. The poetry and the prophets contain some of the most emotional words in the Bible. Or if you come to Clarence's class, you capture that when he explains some of those things. But he says, poetry permits the speaker to use words and structures more elevated than conversational speech. The language demonstrates a very different level of communication occurring with heavy emphasis on imagery, figures of speech, elevated language, allusions, and even exaggerations. The reader cannot approach these texts on a literal level. Well, that's true when some of the imagery and the figures of language is used. But you must recognize the poet is lifting us to new heights of appreciation and understanding. The challenge, in the last sentence, to always go beyond the surface, plumb the depth, soar to the height in exploring the power of speech, and capture its meaning in memorable language. So that's the objective. Now, in reading the book of Haggai, we don't have a lot of imagery or figures of speech except in the last half of the book, and I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to read the narrative. There's only two chapters. I'm just not going to read the last half of the second chapter for you. But here's the story. If you haven't read the outline already or looked at some of the notes to understand where we're going with this, it's just a very easy story to understand. Haggai has gone back to Jerusalem along with a cast of people. There is Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Zerubbabel, Joshua, Malachi, all of these prophets are together at the same time in the same city. How would you like to have an evangelistic team like that? have those prophets leading the assembly. So Haggai is one of those that goes back, and each one of these prophets had a different task. You know, Nehemiah rebuilds the wall. Ezra preaches reform. And Haggai is concerned with rebuilding the temple. So here's the story. In the second year of King Darius, the sixth month, the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. time that the Lord's house should be built. So there's the setting for the story. But then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Four times in the book of Haggai, going two chapters, he says, consider your ways. It must be something about that phrase he wants to get across. You guys need to consider the situation you're in. So verse 6, you have sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Wow, so there's some imagery. Verse 7, so thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains. Here's the instructions. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and build a temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. So now you understand the imagery back in verse 6. We drink, but we're not filled. We have clothes, but we're not warm. What that means? Oh, you tried to feather your nest, but God saw that it wasn't productive. Which explains it right there. Verse 10, therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew. The earth withholds its fruit. I've called for a drought on the land and on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine and the oil, and whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock and all the labor of your hands. So God says, I'm going to get you for allowing my temple to lie in ruins while you feather your own house. Verse 12. So Haggai preached a pretty powerful lesson titled it, Consider Your Ways. Verse 12. So then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. So then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Chapter 2. We'll read the first 9 verses. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, so he has another sermon. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, here's the lesson. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? In other words, what do you see? Nothing there. The temple has been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 4. So yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, said the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus said the Lord of hosts, once more, a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I'll shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. I'll fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. All right, so now we know the text for our lesson this evening is in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. In verse 4, go back and it says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, be strong, Joshua, be strong, all you people of the land, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord. So, from the reading, you know, the people become indifferent to the work of building God's house, the temple. Nothing stopped them from building their own houses. So our text, our lesson, issues the challenge of Haggai to his people and to us today. So let's take a look at these four things. Number one, the need for the work. We'll look at Haggai and his situation and ours. Verse 3, the need for the work. Haggai says, who's left among you that saw this house in her first glory? You see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as nothing than what it used to be? The building has been neglected long enough. The people were so busy building their own houses that God's house wasn't considered. God's house was not a priority for them. God's house was given the leftovers, the dregs, the scraps. And the people were saying in so many words, why build? Let's wait. Let's let our children build it. In so many words. Well, the lesson is for us. Now today, we know, and put your notes, God's house is not brick and mortar. 1 Peter 2:5, he also has living stones. So God's house is not brick and mortar. Living stones. Built up a spiritual house, Peter continues. Holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In Acts 17, verse 24, it says, God made the world and all things therein, and seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwells not in temples made with hands. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and they're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We recognize there's still a need for the work, just as in Haggai's day and in our day. There's a need to build up the spiritual house of God, meaning one another. We have a continual need to be encouraged. That never stops. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you. Concerning brotherly love, Paul said, well, I don't need to write that to you. And he gives the reason. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. Well, that's good. You're doing a good work. But then he adds, and we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So no matter, this is one of those lessons that no matter what we're doing, we need to keep encouraging one another to do what we're doing more and more. He's not trying to shame us or point the finger at us or say we're guilty of something. He says, what you're doing, I want you to keep doing. So there's always a need to show love for one another. So keep sending, making the calls. Keep sending the cards that you're doing already. Always keep doing, giving the encouraging words that you're already doing. Keep offering the help that you're already doing. Keep getting together and praying and attending things we're already doing. So what Haggai is doing to his congregation there, trying to encourage them in the work, and what we need to do too. There's still a need to say, let's keep doing what we're doing. Do it more and more. The second is the responsibility for the work. Who's going to do it? The text has Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the people of the land, says the Lord. All. Leaders, non-leaders. Haggai himself. Well, so if we're going to ask for a show of hands, who's going to do the work? Every hand should go up. Who's going to do the work? We're not supposed to look around and say, well, let's leave it to our children. Responsibility for the work. So even for us today, we're going to build up our congregation. We'll need everyone involved in tackling the task. 1 Corinthians 12:20. We're many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. You see, everyone has a responsibility in building up the congregation. Everybody. Gideon in the Old Testament was able to defeat the Midian army because all 300 were in their places. And they used their torches and their pitchers and their horns. Nehemiah was able to complete the wall because he said, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together until the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. So responsibility for the work. Now don't sit there and look at me, and I won't sit here and look at you. Thinking I'm exempt, and don't you think you're exempt, Brian will take care of it. No. We're all in this together. Number three, all of us, the workers, are to be strong in the work. Be strong, O Zerubbabel. Start the text, verse 4. Be strong, O Joshua. Be strong, all you people. Everybody. I just kind of put in your notes. You realize the strength of Israel was not their numbers. You think, oh, we're a small congregation. But in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, let's take you back a little history lesson. Deuteronomy 7, beginning of verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. We're a holy people unto the Lord our God. The Lord thy God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses giving this lesson to the Israelites. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all the people. Least in number. But because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, therefore know that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. So we have a need for the work. We know we're responsible for the work, but we are to be strong in the work. And the text of our lesson, Haggai, says, concludes with, I'm with you, says the Lord. And that's encouraging because my strength alone is limited. And yours is too. But with you and me and God, we make a majority as we go about the work. Paul speaks in encouraging words when he writes to the brethren in Ephesus in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things. But then he adds, but it's through Christ who strengthens me. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I labored abundantly, but yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So we need to do all we can and then pray for God to do all he can with us. We're workers together, not just with ourselves, but look up. Look up. last one just says, and work. Work. So I just put in your notes, Haggai called on the congregation together, including the leaders. Haggai stirred them upward, inspired them of the need, filled them with desire, pointed out the torn down temple, and called upon them to work. Wow. The old expression, what good is a locomotive that stands still? Powerful locomotive. But he's not doing anything. Sitting there in the railroad yard. Same thing with us. We have the ability. We have the strength. The potential. But what good is that if we don't go to work? You know, this congregation is known for its work. We are known when we have visitors and guests and people that in the military or people just that have lived here and worked with us and have moved away. And you know they share a good news message wherever they have gone. They recommend this congregation to family and friends if they're ever visiting in the San Diego area. We've been known for our care and concern for one another. The support of missionaries. Then some that tend to this that have left here and then they come back and they compare us with some other congregation where they attend and they say and they're just impressed with the percentage of our budget that's devoted to missionaries. It's an impressive percentage. Almost 30. Most congregations will do 5. We do 30. 30% of our budget is in missions. We supported young men going to preacher school. At least 4 of them, if I can recall. I don't have them written down. But I'll give that on. Max Turner. Ted. Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer? How do you pronounce it?
Pfeiffer?
Pfeiffer? Into the Elkhomo Bostonia congregation. One more. Matt. Matthew Hugh. Five. This congregation has been known for supporting young men enter the preaching field. We rallied to the aids of those who need rides to the worship assembly or the Bible class. We rallied to the aid of those who needed work done on their house. People have filled in for me in my absence. We have people here that have filled in with Bible class teachers. We've sent funds for disaster relief. We've welcomed new members. We've welcomed guests to our assemblies. We've sent the cards, made the calls, the visits. We've had our prayer assemblies, our special prayers, and the list goes on and on. So this lesson is designed to encourage you and me into keep doing what we're doing. And then say, let's do more when we can, according to our talents and ability. Nehemiah, I'll close with this, in Nehemiah 2, verse 20. I'll get with that here with notes. Nehemiah 2, verse 20, that the God of heaven, he was building the wall around the city of Jerusalem that had been torn down by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. He said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. So that's the slogan and the encouraging words. No matter how much we've done, there's still more to do. And we're not doing it by our own strength alone. That's the lesson. So that's the book of Haggai. Just 2 short chapters. It's just a narrative on Haggai being the prophet along with these others. But Haggai has a special message of rebuilding the temple itself. Always when we assemble together, send an invitation. We sing an invitation song. But if you're not a member of the New Testament church, you need to let that be known, that request to be become a Christian, be known simply by if you've heard the gospel, believe it. You willing to repent of your sins and to faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and he's that God for you. From that point on, just begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. While we're gathered here, you may have a prayer request in your mind. Whether it be for forgiveness of sin, it can just be for help in time of need, or for a decision you're about to make. But we can certainly honor that. So whatever that need is, we'd like to honor that if we say, if you just let your request be known. Let's sing the song that's been sung before. You need to respond in a public way, simply come while we're singing.